So I was driving up today, and this old song hit me. I need thee, every hour I need thee. And I grew up in a Pentecostal church. We sang that song, and then I was talking to some of the team about it. Ben said, well, that's a Baptist song, so I don't know if you're Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal. This is just an old song that I thought would be great for us to just sing. How about that? I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Bless me now, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Y'all remember that song? Let's try it again. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Bless me now, oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. You know, sometimes it's hard for our soul to articulate in words what we feel. Our spirit can be heavy. It can have emotions, you know, all these kind of things happen that are hard to articulate with a word, a sentence, a phrase. But there's nothing like music and song, lyrics, melody, to just kind of draw that feeling out into the open and be able to just grasp it, right? And for those of us that have been around for a while, it's really cool to bring back some oldies. Feels good. Why don't we sing that one more time? I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Bless me, bless me now, my Savior. Sound good. I come to thee. Oh yeah, sounds good. Thank y'all, guys. Thank y'all very much. To everybody that's online today, hello, hello, hello. We're streaming at 10 and 11:30 now, so glad to have you all with us. I especially want to say a little shout out to Charlie and Amelia. I know you guys are recovering from sickness, so believing that you're going to be better, all right? I heard that you're better, but all the way. Isn't it interesting now how there's COVID and not COVID? You know, so like you tell someone you're sick and you either tell them it's COVID or it's not COVID. There's no more like stomach sickness, colds, earaches. You don't say that anymore. You just say not COVID. Because this is the way we are. This is the world we live in. So whether you have COVID or not COVID, we hope you feel better. Okay. We're in this series called Christ in Meme. And if this is your first Sunday at Promised Land, this is weird. All right. A little bit different. Christ in Meme. Yeah. So it's kind of a play on the scripture in Colossians, first chapter. That says that the riches and glory of Christ are for everyone. Doesn't matter who you are, where you grew up, if you have money, if you don't have money, if you have a degree, don't have a degree, what skin color. If you know the rules, don't know the rules, Christ came for everyone, and you can partake in his glory. And glory is kind of a weird word. We don't use that a lot these days. What does glory mean? I started thinking about it, and I thought, you know, really the only time I use that would be if we were to say, this is them in all their glory. you know, or this is them without all their glory. That's kind of like the only time I say that. Maybe you say it other times, but really what that means is the miraculous nature of Jesus, the beauty of Jesus, those times of Jesus when you step back and you think, wow, I couldn't have done that without God. Sometimes that would be a great thing, like a really amazing thing that happens, and you just can't describe it in any other way. It's a miracle. God did that. I could not have done that on my own. And that's us realizing and recognizing that the glory of God has been made known to us. You know, it's burst from the surface of our life and just exploded onto the scene of our world, our existence. That's the presence of God, the nature of God, the glory of God being made known to us. And we just step back and go, wow. There's other times when it might have been an earthquake of turmoil or trauma, when something very disastrous happened to you and you step back and go, man, how did I make it through that? There's only one explanation. It's God. God is the only way that I could have done what I did when I was facing those scenarios. It has to be God. So whether it's a great thing or it's a tough thing, maybe sometimes it's just a season of what I talked about last week of erosion, you know, just a season of tough, not necessarily like a huge crisis, but just like a wearing down of your heart, stressful time maybe, or you're still kind of getting through but struggling, and then you look back and think, that decade or that year or that week or whatever it was, you think, man, I couldn't have made it through that season if it wasn't for the supernatural power of God. So last week, I sent you home with homework to do some excavation in your life and dig and think through and look, examine. It's amazing how many times we can experience God in our life and we forget it. We don't recognize it. We can be critical when we read the Bible and look at the Jews in the Old Testament. They forgot all the time, especially when they're in the 40 years of desert. And I mean, you talk about erosion. That desert experience was tough on them. They were delivered out of slavery, and God did this great thing for them. And then just a few weeks later, they forgot how great God was and what he'd done for them. So anyway, you know, it's just kind of in our nature to go about life and keep moving and keep going, because life is so vivid and in our face that if we're not careful, we'll come away from the knowledge and the understanding of what God has done for us. So as your pastor, I want to keep drawing you back to that. And that's really what this series is about, is to know those times, know those pictures of our life, like episodes, stories of our life. Maybe you have one of those that you just can look back and say, wow, God was real to me at that point in my life. Maybe some of you have many. I know some people that have been around for a while and been living in a relationship with Jesus for a while have many of those. You can go back and say, there was a time, and there was a time, and there was a time. There's a scripture that Jesus gives to us in Acts 1 and 8 that Jesus in his own words tells us, you, he's pointing to everybody in here today, everybody in here, everybody online, you are going to receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You, yeah. That's not just like some disciple in the Bible that he's talking to. He's talking to the church as a whole. Just a few verses later in Acts, the second chapter, it tells us that the entire room was filled with God's presence, and every person in the room, all the disciples without Judas, Jesus, the mother of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and then kids and adults and people you never will know their name until we get to heaven, they were filled. Everyone was filled with the presence of the Lord. So as we've been going along this month, I've been just kind of passing that information on to you, the truth of God, that you can be filled. It's Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. But then the final piece to that is Jesus says, when that happens, when that glory is made known to you, when you are filled with his presence, when you experience the greatness of God, then you are not just going to hold on to that privately, but you're going to go out and tell other people about that. And you're going to be a witness. So you're going to share what God has done for you. You don't have to tell what God has done for anyone else. Just tell what God's done for you. So there may be people here today that are new to the faith, new to Promised Land, whatever. And you could honestly say, I don't know. I mean, I don't know of a time. That has not happened to me yet. I want to make sure you know that this is a safe place for you. We're not trying to force anything on you. We're not trying to brainwash you. We're not trying to make you think something that's not true or real for you. I'm confident that God is going to make himself known to you. It's going to happen. So keep pursuing him, all right? Keep a mind open to what he would have for you. And then we can all come to share that with other people when it happens. And so I use this word meme, Christ in meme, because a meme is this transfer of information. So we all love a good meme. They're funny. They pack a punch. And then a lot of times we get encouraged, or not encouraged, we get inspired to share it ourselves. We participate in the sharing of these images, whether that's a click on a social media account or you screenshot it and text it to some people. I've done that a lot. I don't necessarily want to share it publicly, but I'll share it with friends or my wife. Hey, this is funny. Why is it funny? Because there's something in it that has some truth to it, all right? There's something in it that this picture conveys something I wasn't able to express just with the words. So I pair it up with the picture. It's funny. It packs a punch. And this idea of transferring information in this bite-sized form is really nothing new. It's been happening for a long time. In marketing terms, I got a degree here at Texas State in marketing, and one of the courses I took, is how to articulate your message. And you've probably heard this if you've been around business for a while, but everybody that's selling something needs an elevator pitch. That is the ability to get in an elevator at the ground level. And as soon as that door closes and it goes bing and you start going up, can you deliver a message to someone else by the time you get to your floor and the door opens and you leave? All right, that's called an elevator pitch. So it's like a minute, 2 minutes. I guess if you're in New York, you may have a few more minutes. But around here, it's like pretty quick in Texas, right? The buildings are not that tall. So do you have the ability to take what God's done for you and share it, be a witness to other people? And I'm not saying that every elevator you get in, you're going to start just spewing off stuff to people. They're like, you're weird. Why are you talking to me? But there will be, God, I believe, shows us in Scripture, there will be what's called people of peace that come into your life. And Jesus sent people out a lot. And he said, if you go to their house and they're people of peace, they will want to know what you're having to say. All right. And I was just with somebody yesterday and he started asking me questions. Person of peace. So I'm going to start talking. Right. But Jesus also said, if you're around somebody and they reject what you're saying, don't get offended. Don't say anything snide or get your feelings hurt, just go to the next person. Just keep going. Dust your feet off, go to the next one. So God is going to put people in your life that want to hear what God has done for you. That's called a person of peace, all right? So when that happens, how do we do this? So today, I want to give you just a little simple final idea for those of you that have been on this journey with us. And maybe you have been thinking about the picture of what God's done for you. How do you then turn it, like the final piece to this puzzle, putting it in a meme form, an elevator pitch, to be able to share with other people? And really, what's important is that here's what today's really all about. It's important that we're able to take what God has done for us and juxtapose it with the meta-narrative of Scripture. Now, I practiced that line all week so that y'all would think I'm really smart, okay? So can I tell it to you one more time? We need to juxtapose what God has done for us with the meta-narrative of Scripture. What that means, this is the Robin version of that, the real Robin version of that. We need to take what God's done for us and look at it, how it compares to the whole story of God, the whole picture of God. So God created the Garden of Eden, the earth, everything was perfect. God had a great relationships with Adam and Eve. It was beautiful, pure, undefiled glory and beauty and wholeness in the earth. Then sin came into the world. Adam and Eve partook of that sin, rebelled against God, and it caused this huge chasm between God and people. And the whole earth was corrupted. Thistles grew. Mosquitoes got stingers, right, or suckers, or whatever they have. Snakes got venomous at that point. Like, the world literally changed at that corruption of that sin that just separated. And frankly, the world could have been left alone at that point and completely separated from God. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God comes into the world, sends Jesus into the world to redeem the world. And so Jesus lives this beautiful life without sin and then goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and takes on the entire world's sin onto himself and takes our place and takes on our sin. And then he goes to his death. He's beaten, he's nailed to a cross, and he dies hanging like a thief and a murderer and a convict. And is horrible. It's painful. He dies on the cross. He's taken down and is buried in a borrowed tomb. And then on the third day, Jesus comes from that grave alive, defeating death and hell and the grave forever. That's what Jesus did. Then he says to everybody, anyone here, anyone at Promised Land, anybody watching online, anybody in the world that will call on me and believe in me, what I've done for you, you get to come with me into eternal life. So I want to let everybody know that right now. If you have not said yes to Jesus, today's the day of salvation that you can say yes to him and receive, get in the family. Get in the family by saying yes to the one who did the work for you, Jesus. That's where we are today. We're in that time between the time he rose from the dead. Here we are now having the ability to choose him and say yes to him. All of us in here haven't died yet. We're still alive. And that's not the end of the story, though. We don't just kind of exist until we die in this state, but the Bible shows us that there's going to be a day when Jesus returns. And when Jesus returns, it's going to be different than it was before. He's not going to come back as a baby. He's going to come back as a warrior on a white horse, fire coming out of his mouth and nostrils. I mean, like, it's going to be a completely different story when Jesus comes back. He's coming back, and he's coming back to restore the earth to the beauty and perfection and innocence of the Garden of Eden. So we have that to look forward to. A day of perfection and beauty and glory. No more tears, no more cancer, no more COVID, no more Crohn's disease, no more diabetes or back pain or divorce or any of those problems that we face. That's what we have to look forward to. So that's what I was saying was the meta narrative, the whole story of God from the Garden of Eden to eternal life with Jesus forever and ever and ever. That's the big arc of the Bible that we're looking at. Now, we as individuals can look and see, where do I fit in that? And how does my story reflect that? Or maybe how does my life story give people a picture, a small Robin picture of the whole thing? Your story does the same thing. I want us to read our text for today, 1 Peter 1, 6. 1 Peter 1, 6. Just finish talking about the glory of heaven and what we have to look forward to. So it says, so be truly glad. So be truly glad that we have for, you know, look forward to that. There's a wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So God's showing us here in the Word that our faith in Him is extremely valuable. Even though it may be teetering, even though you may feel like it's feeble or weak, He's saying, hang on. It's being tested. It's getting stronger. It's not just getting stronger by some ambiguous thing. It's being made stronger by the trials. These trials are showing you that your faith is not fake, but that it is valuable, and it's like being like fire tests gold and makes it stronger. These trials you're going through is making your faith stronger, and your faith is much more important and valuable than mere gold. Now, this day and time, gold is even more valuable than it is now. But even till this day, gold's very valuable. Mere gold. Your faith, gold down here. Okay, your faith up here, gold down here. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So in this text right here, just leave it up for a second so we can keep chewing on it, digesting it, okay? What it's saying here is giving us the big picture, the big arc of the Bible, of that you're going through some stuff right now, but there's an end in sight. There's a light at the end of the tunnel when Jesus is coming back and everything's going to be better. But for a little while, it says, you're going to face more trials, more tough stuff's going to happen, all right? For a little while, and I want you to think about this, for a little while, maybe the rest of your life. But when it's talking about the whole story of God, that's just a little while. Because you're going to spend forever and ever and ever and ever in heaven. Okay? So just a little while, you're going to face some of this tough stuff. And what this is telling us is that Jesus Christ is going to be revealed. Da-da-da-da. It definitely says the trump is going to sound. And Jesus is going to show up on the scene. This is a huge climactic moment where we visually see Jesus coming to us in the clouds. And there's literally music. It's not a Spotify playlist, but it's Gabriel blowing the trumpet. And the whole world's going to hear it. Jesus is going to be revealed. Ba, 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 ba. Awesome. That's literally going to happen. In the meantime, Christ is going to be revealed in you. And Christ is going to be revealed in me. In the story He's writing in us. That's what the witness is all about. When we're a witness about Him, what we're doing is we're giving people our own little window into what the big story is all about. Does that make sense? There's a book called the Jesus Storybook Bible. We give this out to all the families that we dedicate their kids. And you've probably seen us give this Bible away. It's technically not an official Bible because it's not word for word, but it gives a lot of the stories of the Bible. And I want to encourage adults, if you don't have this book, you can get this book and read it, especially if you're a grandparent or aunt or uncle or something, parent, read this to your kids. But you're going to realize you're going to get a lot out of this too. So it has the Old Testament stories all the way up through Jesus and, you know, Moses, David, and Noah, and Daniel, Esther, all these great stories of the Old Testament and New Testament. But what's really interesting about the Jesus Storybook Bible is you'll read about Moses, all right? And you'll read, you know, it's a very accurate depiction of what happened in the Bible, in a very simple, easy to understand way. But then at the end of every story, It takes what happened in that story and it shows you how what happened in that story is reflected in the nature and the redemptive power of Jesus. It's amazing. You may not have realized that, but every single story in the Bible points toward the power of Jesus's redemption. And so this is a way for you to introduce your kids into that concept, that idea. As you're reading the Bible, you can see Jesus and his salvation and his gospel reflected in every single thing, in all the broken parts of the Bible and all the heroes of the Bible, and you know, just the earthquakes and the eruptions and the erosions of the Bible, you know, all that kind of stuff that happens, it all points toward Jesus. And here's the point I'm trying to make with this, is that your story belongs in the book. Your story, you may think, well, I'm not Moses, I'm not Noah, I'm not Esther or Deborah or whoever, but really, they were not any sort of superhero that's different from you or me. In fact, some of them were horribly broken, horribly mistake-filled. Terrible things happened to them and through them. But yet God's nature is reflected in their story, and so is yours. And so I want you to start thinking in that term. Like, how does my individual story reflect something about God that could reveal his nature to other people? Because that's really what's happening. And so this whole sermon series, message series, is kind of like a workshop, honestly, where I'm really encouraging you to do some work on your own, in your own time, and to really dig through and think through that kind of stuff. And because it's a process. It's a process that's going to happen. It's going to bring you clarity. Why don't you go ahead and put up this little sequence of how this works. When you get clarity in your mind and in your heart about what God has done for you, clarity, that's going to bring confidence. And then when you have confidence in your life, then all of a sudden you have courage to go out and be a witness and tell people about what's happened. But you can't expect to follow Acts 1 and 8 without and having the courage to go out and be a witness to Hayes County, Texas, United States, and the world. That's kind of what Acts 1 and 8 says. You can't have the courage to do that without first having clarity. And that's really the work of what's happening here in January. I'm excited about people at Promised Land that is equipped and clear about what God has done for you. And then that's going to give you confidence to step into that elevator and begin to declare what God has done for you. That is where the wildfire really takes off, of spreading the good news to other people and to really make it happen. And revival happening. So I want to help you with that. I want to help you bring some clarity, and it just takes work, all right? It takes you thinking. The word I used last week was excavation. It takes you going into your life and kind of digging through it and thinking about it and praying about it. Lord, show me the things I've forgotten. Lord, let me know how have you been made known to me in my life? And then come talking with someone else about it and just chewing on it with them and sharing what you have and then them asking you questions. Our small groups have really been getting into that. So all of you in a small group, I want to encourage you to use those people are there to help you. You like really process that. If you're not in a small group, I want to encourage you to either get in one or find an individual, a person that you can work with this on to really bring clarity and help you, you know, practice basically and talk through it. So last week I showed you a meme that I created for myself, and I'm not going to go through all this in detail because you'll have to just go back and watch the message from last week, but This is a meme that really comes from my life. I'm the one on the left and my daughter's on the right, and I can use this picture to help people understand the power and the nature of what God has done in my life and then how that reflects on the whole story of God, that God is a God of grace and unmerited favor, and adoption. And it's not based on our works, it's based on his works. Okay, I could give you that. I could give you that information by just going through this. I asked my wife this week about what her meme would be, and she explained it to me, and this is what I came up with for Erica's meme. So check this out. This is before Jesus and after Jesus. Babe, can you come up? She's in the house, and I want her to explain this, okay? So obviously, and she literally gave me these characters and said, this was me before Jesus. And so on the left is a minion that's been possessed or something. I'm not sure.
The purple slime on them or
and
something.
And then the one on the right is from a character from the movie Brave.
Yeah.
So what would be your thoughts on that?
pardon me, if you haven't seen these movies, it will be harder for you to understand, but I mean, there's some pretty clear differences between the two characters.
The picture says a lot, right?
The picture says a lot.
Yeah.
So I was telling him, you know, I had an interesting, you know, just like we all have our story of how we grew up and whatever challenges we faced. My parents divorced when I was young. I was the oldest of the two of us. I was very much a parent figure in lots of ways. And not necessarily my personal life, but our family came from a lot of, there's a lot of history of abuse and anger and dealing with things in anger and a dysfunctional way of dealing with things. And so, so as I grew up before Jesus, a lot of how I operated was that way, and I could be very piercing and harsh and not kind and not thoughtful and very much about me, and I thought
the one on the left.
The purple minion really represented that. Like, you probably shouldn't mess with me. I definitely look dangerous. and then, you know, after Jesus, there is still... So this character, Merida...
On the right.
...is very... confident and brave and gonna go out and kick some butt and take names.
Wow. Right.
And I think that part of me is obviously still there.
Still got a sword.
But it's refined, and God has helped shave off a lot of those rough edges and allowed me in his kindness to be able to minister to other people without injuring them.
Most of the time.
I mean, my flesh is still there. I still have
every
to
once in a while
ask Jesus to help
out.
Me.
Not for me, not to me or anything.
No, definitely to you. You definitely experience it.
But thank Jesus.
Yes.
For his redemption.
Yes, amen.
And his power.
Yeah.
So I wanted her to come up and talk a little bit, because she's, I think, where a lot of you are, where you're discovering what God has done for you, mm-hmm. and now you're in that place of how to articulate that in a way that shows that big
yes.
nature of God. Now, all of our lives don't, none of our lives show the fullness of God, because we're not God, but we all show some nature of God,
yeah.
some part of God's goodness is reflected in us. So it's us digging in and finding out how God's goodness has been reflected. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I think, like you talked about the elevator speech and all that, you know, for me, we were talking last night, which we always talk about whatever he's going to be, you know, speaking about. And he said, so what would be your elevator speech? And I was like, and just like, I think I'm much better at sitting down one-on-one with somebody and telling the big story.
Yeah.
That's easier for me
yeah.
than having a 2-minute speech about like,
right.
well, this happened, and then Jesus, like,
yeah.
that feels like, to
yeah.
me. And so that doesn't come easily to
yeah.
me, but to somebody else, saying something simple might be easy
yeah.
versus
yeah.
sitting down one-on-one.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because the answer to this is not to be like succinct in a minute and a half. It is to be ready. It's to be ready for whatever God puts in your way. And there's like a 10-minute version.
Yes.
You know, 30-minute version. I wrote a whole book on that meme that you just saw. So if you really want to know the whole book, I got a whole book. You don't need to do that. No, you know, you kind of, wherever you are, I think.
I would say, too, that it's not even about a 30, 10-minute, 5-minute. It's about being sensitive to the Spirit of God and how God's Spirit is leading you. And being sensitive to that.
Right.
Sensitive to the person you're talking to.
Right.
Being led by the Spirit of God is the most important thing.
Yeah.
Overall, there's not going to be somebody standing there with a timer waiting for you to hurry up and finish up that testimony.
I think maybe what we all need to get to is that clarity.
Yeah.
You know, just do the work to get to that clarity and know. And then Jesus said when he was talking to his disciples, the Holy Spirit is going to give you the words to say when you need to say them.
Yeah.
So that's very important.
Yep.
It's both.
Yeah.
You're prepared and you have clarity, but then the Holy Spirit is going to be able to articulate.
Yeah.
And one of the things that we both heard Jeff Garner say, he's been here quite a bit. One of our friends that comes to speak here, Jeff, well, the phrase he uses when he's talking to people is, "That's why I love Jesus so much."
Mm.
Mm-hmm. When someone is working through a very, very difficult time and they're talking to him or whatever, he says, "That's why I love Jesus so much, because," and he's able to know how to then go into what Jesus has done for him and how it relates to that person.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. All right, give her a hand. Yes. So next week, we have a guest speaker coming named Walt Heyer. He's coming in from North Carolina. He's going to be with us next week. And this is going to be one of the most interesting stories. He's going to give us the 30-minute story. And in fact, I'm going to be interviewing him. This is going to be one of the most interesting Christ in Meme stories. And this is one of the perfect ways to kind of end this series. He's 81 years old. But he's sharp as a tack and very articulate. Why don't you show the picture? This is a meme of him. In 1977, 1984, and now. So he was born biologically as a man. He then lived 8 years as a woman, as a transgender woman. And now he has had an experience with Jesus that has completely transformed him, not just gender-wise, but spiritually. Now, I don't know what you're thinking right now, but this topic is very practical and very relevant for 2022, and there are so many questions I have for him, and I have so many things, and he said there's nothing off limits. You can ask me anything you want about surgery, about medicine, about Jesus, about how people dealt with me, how I deal with people. He's going to Brazil to speak in a few weeks. He's been on all kind of talk shows and done all kind of stuff. And so if you have questions that you'd like for me to ask Mr. Heyer, let me know. Send them to me this week, and I'll try to squeeze them in. All right. Why don't you stand to your feet, and let's pray right now. I know that there's been a lot of information happening, a lot of information coming towards you today in many different formats and thoughts. But I want us to go to God right now. And I want us, first of all, always want to pray with people that need Jesus. I need you, Lord. I need you every hour. I need you. Those folks in the room or watching online, we're going to pray together. If you need Jesus, we're going to pray for Jesus to come into your heart right now, come into your life. But then I also want to pray for everybody out there that's ready to be a witness. So would you join with me and bow your heads and close your eyes? And if you're ready to be in a relationship with Jesus right now, you may not have it all figured out, but if you're ready, would you just say, "Heavenly Father, I surrender to you right now. I welcome you into my life. I need a Savior. I need help. Jesus, I'm trusting in you. I'm putting my faith in you, Jesus. I believe that you're the way. I believe that you're truth. Jesus, I believe you did the work for me. I'm putting my faith in you, Jesus. Please forgive me of my sin. Please forgive me of myself, my pride, my jealousy, my anger, my ego. I need you, Jesus. And I am surrendering to you. So please forgive me, Lord. Please heal me. Some of you in the room today, maybe you're watching that, you have not experienced the supernatural power of God. You can say, Jesus, I'm ready. I'm ready for that. I need that. Come on, Jesus. That's one of my favorite things I love to say. Just come on, Jesus. Come on. Come on and be with me right now. Holy Spirit, I welcome you into my heart. I welcome you into my life. Make yourself known to me, Lord, personally. And then everybody in here that's had that experience with the Lord, you can keep on drinking from that well of the Holy Spirit. But then be equipped to go out and share with other people. Lord, I'm praying with my brothers and sisters right now that have been impacted by your goodness and your grace. And they're wrestling through that story, that ability to be a witness. God, I pray that you give them clarity and confidence and courage to go out and make a difference. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.